It's a Hebrew word, one of those Hebrew words which has come down to us through all the different translations of the Bible and is still there as a Hebrew or Aramaic word embedded in the Gospels. It's difficult to translate precisely. It comes from a root which means salvation. And these crowds on Palm Sunday shouting Hosanna are saying either Hosanna, salvation has come, or else they're shouting in anticipation, Hosanna, salvation is coming. But one way or another, they're greeting salvation, the salvation of the world coming in Jesus Christ. I sometimes think, though, that maybe our understanding of what salvation means is sometimes too narrow, too small. So I want to try with you today to look at the big picture of salvation. Let's go back to a question which surely at some point troubles us all. If there is a God, and if God is good, why is there so much evil in the world? Why do so many bad things happen? Why does God allow it? David Attenborough, a man who's probably done more than anyone else to popularise the theory of evolution through his nature programmes for 50 years or more on television, David Attenborough is also an atheist. And the reason he gives for being an atheist is not that the evidence for evolution is so compelling, because it isn't, but that he cannot believe in a God who created a world in which there is so much suffering. Suffering in nature, of course, as well as suffering in the human world. If there is a God, and if God is good, why is there so much evil in the world, so much suffering? So what can we say if we do believe in God, and if we do believe that God is good? Well, the first thing we can say is that it isn't God who wills all the evil and suffering in the world. God did not intend and does not intend such bad things to happen. He does not intend all the suffering that there is in the world. We read at the end of the creation story, right at the beginning of the Bible, that God saw all that he had made and it was very good. No suffering, no evil, no pain, no death. God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And on a morning like this, you can see again, perhaps, it's a bit like that song that they sing in school these days, isn't it? Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. And it's like sort of dawn of creation again, isn't it, on a morning like this. So the world that God created was very good. What's gone wrong then? Well, the Bible tells us, or hints perhaps I should say, that something has gone wrong in the spiritual realm. The Bible suggests that there are angels who've rebelled against God and are now working in opposition to God. I don't think to go into details about that is any of our business. But Paul, for example, does tell us this in the letter to the Ephesians. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, or not just against flesh and blood. But he says, our struggle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But then, much more easy to understand, and much more, as it were, closer to home, perhaps, is that something has seriously gone wrong here on earth, amongst us, human beings. Never mind the angels, we have rebelled against God. The human race has rebelled against God. From the beginning, we have disobeyed God. We have ignored God's word and God's warnings to us. And we've turned our faces away from God, our Father and our Creator. And the final result of all this turning against God or turning away from God, as John tells us in his first letter, is that now the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's why the world is such an evil place. But then, of course, we can't exonerate God, as it were, entirely from responsibility for all this. After all, it's a world that he made. The angels are creatures, spiritual beings that he made. We are creatures that he's made. So then we go on. We must go on to ask, so why doesn't God intervene in some way? Why doesn't God step in to this world and stop these things from happening? Why doesn't God put an end to all the evil that goes on in the world day by day? But you see, people, that is the plan. That is precisely God's plan. The plan of redemption, the plan of salvation. Hosanna! God has put a plan into operation. Salvation has come, salvation is coming, and salvation will come. This whole plan of God, this whole plan to save the world, this whole plan depends on Jesus. It depends on God's Son, on God himself coming into the world and saving the world. And I think there are five steps, or five stages, if you like, in the working out of God's plan of salvation for this sinful and suffering world. The first step seems to me to be the incarnation. God has stepped in to this suffering and wicked world that we live in. God hasn't just stayed aloof and outside it all, looking on carelessly. God has stepped in to this suffering world in which we live. And he stepped in himself at great cost to himself, at a greater cost that there could not be, the cost of his only Son. No, God is not aloof from all this suffering. He has come and suffered with us. And indeed, he still suffers with us through his Spirit. Wonderful verse in Isaiah chapter 63. Wonderful prophetic verse. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So when you're going through, when I'm going through, when we're going through any sort of affliction, just remember that in all our affliction, he is afflicted. He has suffered all the things that we suffer, and still he suffers with us. And the angel of his presence will save us, will be with us in our affliction. First, incarnation. God coming into the world to suffer with us, alongside us. The second stage or step in salvation or redemption is in the ministry of Jesus, and in particular in God's call to repentance. Jesus came into Galilee right at the beginning of the gospel. We read, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." Salvation is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So the second stage, the second step, is the call to repentance, which needs to come to every one of us. We need to hear it and we need to respond to it. People out there in the world need to hear it and need to respond to it. It isn't good enough for us to sit in church and hear the call of repentance without going out into the world and one way or another making this call to repentance heard to all creation. You see, it isn't just God that must do something about the salvation of the world. It's us. We've got to do something about it too. And what we've got to do is repent. Turn back to God. Turn our faces towards God. Heed, listen, obey his word, his will. Salvation comes to the world, you know, one person at a time. Each one of us has that same choice. Either to go on as we are or as we were, living as if God did not exist, paying no attention to him and to his will and commandments, following the ways of the world, or we can turn around and face God again, seek his face and obey his voice. And as each person, as each individual turns round in that way, so salvation comes to that person and a little bit more to the world. Then, of course, the third step in the salvation of the world, God's great plan of redemption, is the cross. Because at the cross we're offered forgiveness for all that's gone before, for all the stuff that we've done, which has hurt other people, which has spoilt the world, which has ruined our relationship with God. It's an offer of forgiveness, the opportunity to start over again. As we come with all our baggage and all the stuff we've said and done wrong, all that we've contributed to the suffering and the wickedness in the world, as we come to the foot of the cross with all that baggage and lay it down at the foot of the cross, so our sins are washed away. So all the past is covered, and we're offered by Jesus a new start, a new birth, a new life, even here on earth, salvation. And the fourth step or stage of salvation or redemption is, of course, the resurrection. Not just the offer of a new life for us, even now, here on earth, to be saved here and now ourselves, but the hope of a new world, of a world to come. The hope of a new life, not just here on earth, but a new life after death. A new world and a new life in which bad things no longer happen. A new world and a new life in which there is no more suffering and no more pain and no more death. A life which is everlasting. We see signs of this new world, signs of this new life, even now in the miracles we read about in the Gospels, the miracles Jesus did, and the miracles that we still experience. And we've seen some miracles on the Alpha Course these last 10 weeks, I can assure you. We see signs of this new world and this new life in the miracles of Jesus and in the life of the church. We have the first fruits of all this, of salvation, even here and now. But of course, we don't have the fullness of it. We don't have the fulfillment of it yet. That is still to come. And that is the last and final stage of God's plan of salvation. And that will only come to pass when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, and there is that great separation of good and evil, which we call the Last Judgment. And when all that is evil is finally cast into the fire and disposed of, destroyed forever. And all that is good, all that is of God in the world is gathered into his everlasting kingdom. So this is the word which Peter spoke to the people of Jerusalem. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore all things, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. God has done something to save the world. He is doing something to save the world. He will do something to save the world. Hosanna!